Hey everybody, this is Pocket 23. Today we're going to be talking about our first jobs. This is a first of a three-part series starting with our first jobs to our worst jobs. Like and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. All right. So basically we're going to go around the table and we're going to talk about our first jobs. And then I have some questions about those. Do we want to go clockwise or counterclockwise? Who wants to go first?
That makes no matter.
All right. What's your first job?
So when I was 13 years old, there was a position open for a paper boy in my neighborhood.
Paper boy? What is a paper boy?
Oh, shit. I screwed that up one time.
So
you didn't have to bring your parents with you back then? Like a kid could leave the house on their own back then? Is that what you're telling me?
All on their own.
Yeah. Wow. And you could ride a bike around a neighborhood and not get stolen.
That's crazy.
Not just the bike, the kid too.
Yeah. Nowadays, you know, as soon as the kids are in the house, you lock the door and you put them in front of an iPad and... That's it.
That's good parenting right
Exactly,
there.
Right?
Yeah, that's babysitting.
And nowadays, if you let your kids play outside, they bash you for being a bad parent, for not taking care of your kids,
You're not watching your kids. You're getting rid of them.
Exactly.
By sending them outside to play.
Right.
My dad not only kicked me out in the morning to go play with the other kids, he would leave. I would come home, the door would be locked. I'd have to eat dinner at my friend's house. And then he would come back later and he'd be like, come home, you know?
Time to come home, son.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, when the firehouse would have a wah in Watch Hill.
Right.
And that was our sign that we had to go home.
What was it, 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
6:30, 7 o'clock, yeah.
Like when my dad was a kid, they had the bell, right? Ding, ding, ding.
Time for dinner.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I had 22 houses in the neighborhood that I did. And the Wesley son was kind enough to sell me a money bag and a bag to carry all the papers in.
So how do you get
sell
paid?
Them to you or give them to you?
Sell them to me.
So nothing in
this world is free.
So how do you get paid? You get paid by reselling the papers?
Right. So they would charge me 90 cents a week per customer for the paper, and I would turn around and sell it for $1.20.
Okay, so but it was up to you to get the subscribers?
A little bit of both. So if someone wanted... the newspaper, they could see me delivering the papers and be like, oh, I would like the newspaper, and I could notify the Wesley Sun. Or the customer could notify the Wesley Sun themselves that they would like service.
If you think about it, that's a pretty complicated job for a kid. I mean, that's a sales job. So
exactly.
you had to keep books, right? You had to keep your customers' addresses
absolutely.
And all that?
I had to have a ledger of whether they paid or not.
Were there any bonuses, like if you had over a certain amount of subscribers, or could you get like a discount on the papers?
No, that was a flat rate, 90 cents a week, and we're selling it for $1.20 a week.
Did you have to roll them and then throw them, or would you bring it up to the front door?
So every customer
had their own way
of wanting the paper. Some of them wanted them in the mailbox, and back then a lot of the mailboxes had hooks for the newspaper, so you just put the newspaper in the hook where the mailbox
is. So you were just running down the street like the Nintendo video game, knocking out old people and kids.
Oh my God, that game was great.
That's probably nothing like that.
That's total fiction.
Total fiction.
Nintendo.
So some people would want the newspaper put in the door, so you'd open up the screen door and put the newspaper in.
Oh, wow.
That could be dangerous in the summer because a lot of these households had dogs. Mm. And the dog would be like chasing at the door as you like meekly thrust in the newspaper and shut the door as fast as possible so you didn't get bit, you know?
Did you have any problems with, like, back then for newspaper thieves? They would come and steal your papers and you would get blamed for not delivering the paper?
No, that never happened.
Did you ever get bit by a dog?
No, but this one guy had a Doberman Pinscher. And
oh, man.
I don't even know how he read the paper because I'd barely get the paper through the door and the dog would just attack the paper and just like, he'd act like it was a bone basically and just start going to town on it. I don't know how the guy ever read the news. Finally, like 2.5 years into my 3-year job.
You did this for three years?
Yeah, I did it for 3 years.
Wow.
The guy was like, maybe you could just put the paper in the mailbox.
So what did you do with this money? This was like, did you get an allowance from your parents?
So yeah, my parents probably paid me like $5 a week to do like household chores, like take out the garbage, maybe mow the lawn, whatever. Maybe I got up to $10 a week. I don't know.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Right. But I was making about $13 a week on my paper route. So that was definitely my primary source of income.
You didn't do like the Calvin and Hobbes type thing and throw a steak out so you can get past the dog to deliver the paper?
I should have. If I could afford that, I would have. But there was a few households like that. So that was a bit nuts.
Do you still know any of these people that you delivered to back then?
I haven't spoken to any of those people in probably several decades.
You think any of them are still around?
Sure. It's an old, the old neighborhood's getting older, you know, just like we are. I'm sure a lot of those people have passed. But there's still some people that live in those old houses still, I'm sure, you know.
It might be kind of funny to like have this prank, put you on a bike, and then have you deliver.
Right. That's if anyone remembers me. Remember me?
You're still doing this job?
I'm back.
It pays better than my old job.
I need my $2. $2.
I was away for 42 years, but I'm back.
You could knock on the door and be like, you know, by the way, you still owed me $2, but with interest.
That's going to pay my rent for like a month with the interest of that paper.
Right.
So, SDR, what was your next job?
So my next job was working at McDonald's. I turned 16 years old, and I decided I needed a real job that paid me more than $13 a week.
So you're the fry guy?
Because I wanted to buy cigarettes and marijuana, basically.
Makes sense.
You know, and I couldn't afford all that on $13 a week. So I worked at McDonald's for 3 months. They never put me in charge of the fryolator.
Never? You never got to be the fry guy?
I worked at McDonald's for 3 months. I never made one French fry.
Oh, bummer.
Did they fear you would hurt yourself? Is that what it was? Or did you have to be elite?
Yeah, that was for the the veterans that worked there. You had to have at least 9 months of flipping hamburg experience before they
could
would,
do the fries. But maybe you dodged a bullet there because, you know, I've seen them have to clean those things, and that looks pretty nasty.
Right, I'm sure it was.
You drop your finger in there by accident or something, you're going to get that. You're going to make that into like a chicken fry, whatever that new thing they have.
That might be a burger. They don't call them chicken fingers for nothing.
Oh, boom, give me the boom, chim chomp.
Back then, did they have like? Did they make you watch like training videos for every single station that you went to?
No such thing as a training video back then. So this is back in the summer of 1984. I would say.
So was a guy have a mullet that's teaching you what to do or what?
Exactly. Yeah.
Who was his name? Yeah, Leroy.
So basically, I more times than not, I ran the quarter pounder station. I would make quarter pounders. I would dress the buns and. As a side job, they would put me in charge of nuggets, filet of fish, and the chicken sandwich.
So you were in
the
charge.
Chicken sandwich.
You were in charge with it after it came out of the fryer. Like you couldn't fry it, but once it came out, it was all yours.
I would put the fish and the chicken in the fryer.
So you couldn't do the fries.
I couldn't do the French fries. That was like a whole separate station and a whole different group of people.
I think
the people that were working the drive-thru also made the French fries. But none of the people that worked back of house made the French fries, oddly enough.
So were the reason for that is because like were the fryers at different temperatures or something like that?
I just think maybe the location of where the fryolator was, it was very close to the drive-thru window. So I'm guessing that the people that were either working at the drive-thru or the people that were waiting on customers at the front of the house, or the people working at the pass. The setup was different back then than it is now, for sure. But the people in the back of the house never made French fries, ever.
Is it true that that McDonald's microwaves the burgers?
Back then they didn't.
No, back then they actually made the burgers. They had a grill.
They
had a grill, and it was intense. You would put down 8 quarter pounders, and a bell would go off. When the bell went off, you flipped them. Okay, so once you flipped them, you had to take the quarter pounders that were already flipped and take them off the grill, put them on the bun, dress the bun. Meanwhile, you had to move the quarter pounders that were already on the grill over, and you had to lay more out. It was a really intense job. When they wanted quarter pounders, they would call it on the turn. Keep them coming on the turn. So all of a sudden, that would be like your lunch hour, your dinner rush. You were like, it was hard to keep up. You were so busy. You could barely do all that. Flip the burgers, get them off the grill, put new burgers on, dress the buns. Meanwhile, people are barking out orders for chicken McNuggets. And someone wants a special order on a filet of fish. okay? You, like, you're losing your mind back there.
So nowadays,
what did they want on the filet of fish? Extra tartar sauce?
Extra and freaking tartar sauce. I'll give you some tartar sauce on that filet.
So did you guys get so you know Dinner Rush is coming, right? Did you prep for it? Yeah, did you prep burgers for it?
So back then you could only keep a burger basically on the pass for 20 minutes or you'd have to throw it away.
Oh.
And how many did they actually throw away and how many they did?
Well, it depended on the time of day. So
did you have that boss who was just like, just use them?
Well, no, because the boss...
Someone worked the pass. That was like a job of the... Either the manager or the assistant manager.
Oh, so you weren't working the pass.
Oh, no. No, yeah. You had to be a high-ranking McDonald's official to work the pass.
McDonald's University.
Yes. And they would bark out the orders to the back of the house of what they needed. Okay, we got a special order coming. Boom, they would give you a ticket, literally written with the special order. Okay, no pickle on this hamburger. Okay, no ketchup, no mustard. And you wouldn't believe when it gets so busy, you get these special orders coming in. You wouldn't believe how often, because you're just doing like working as fast as possible, how many times you would forget about the special order.
And the people would get so bent out of
shape. Right. And they would have to wait a whole extra round before they got their special order.
Yeah, they have to go back through the drive-thru. Or like when they forget and don't give you a straw.
They put
a milkshake and you're like, what the frick do I do with this now?
Right, you're at the drive-thru and they give you the hat, the dreaded hat. You ever go through the drive-thru at McDonald's back in the day and your order wasn't ready and they would give you like a cone to put on top of your car and you would just...
No, I've never heard of it. So now they just tell you to move forward.
Right, well, now they have numbered spots for you to pull into. But back then you'd get a cone.
They would hand it through the window to you like, here's your cone.
Right. It's like the dunce cone they put on top of the car.
That's exactly what it was, a dunce cone. And you'd pull over to the parking spot with a dunce cone on waiting for your order.
I never knew that.
Some dumbass forgot to get the fries right or something. Oh, my God.
That's hilarious. What about
the onions? Like, the onions, I'm not an onion fan at all. But I will eat the onions on a McDonald's burger because they're like sweet onions.
So
how do they make them?
There's two types of onions, and they all come pre-made. There's the little chips that you put on just a regular burger.
That
come in basically a little
block.
Bin. Right. And you put the bin into this other bin. And then this is the gross part. Back then, there was no like standards. So you would literally take your bare hand, put it into the onions, and dress the hamburger. No glove on your hand. No nothing.
What?
Right.
Oh, so, man.
Right. This is why fast food probably has a horrible reputation.
Did it say employees must wash their hands in the bathroom?
Probably not.
Man.
So you're dipping your hand. The same hand that went into the onions also went into the pickles. Also, the grossest part was peeling the cheese off the block. So the cheese would come in these big blocks, okay? And you would have to peel the cheese off the block.
With your hands.
With your bare hands. And sometimes, you know.
It gets in your knuckles.
If it was, it's very hot in the kitchen. So the cheese is starting to melt onto each piece. So you would have to like dig in with your fingernails pull the cheese off and stick it on somebody's hamburger.
Oh, my God.
See, that's why out of sight, out of mind is so important. If you don't know what you're eating.
Right. Back in the day, you did not want to eat McDonald's, truly.
Wow.
I'm sure the sanitary conditions have improved dramatically since I started working there.
So
shortly after I left, they're like, dude. they're like, that was the grossest experience we ever had hiring that dude. Did you see how he would handle the cheese? He would just stick his freaking fingernails right into the block. you could see my fingerprints in the next piece of cheese.
Jesus.
One
of the customers gets murdered later and the cops show up. We found your fingerprints on the scene because it's on the cheese. You obviously were pretty close to them because you had your hands on their food.
Right. Your DNA was all over their burger.
It was on their lips. We know you were having an affair.
Oh, man. All right, Jeez. So that's a McDonald's story.
Was 16 was the youngest they would hire at McDonald's back then?
Yes.
Yeah, they got like 14-year-olds there?
Probably.
Yeah.
There's conditions if you're a 14-year-old working. you can't work alone. You can only work so many hours a week. And you can only work until a certain time frame.
And I notice, I think they only work the front. Like, they're not allowed to touch anything in the food part. Like, I only see them working in the bagging part and the register.
I see them in the drive-thru.
Well, yeah. But I don't see them making the food itself, though.
No.
At least I haven't.
So here's another question. Did you ever see Ronald, and did he come into your McDonald's? And did
that
you
is
see
disgusting.
Him?
This is a PG-rated podcast.
And you're
podcast.
Talking about Ronald coming?
Yeah.
In the back?
No, did no. he come into
what the fuck is going on
I
here?
I cannot believe you would bring that up.
No. I meant.
Wow.
I feel dirty now, you know?
No. So it's more disgusting than my cheese story.
I meant.
This is a special sauce. McDonald's.
That's what we would put on the Big Macs.
No. Remember when you closed tonight to leave out a bin, McDonald's coming by to fill it.
No,
you know, that's why they only let him out at certain times. He had his own office in the back. It was right next to the sperm bank.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, did Ronald McDonald ever show up at your location?
Unfortunately not.
You never got to meet the man?
No, I was wanting to meet the Hamburglar.
Yeah, what about Hamburglar?
That's my dude right
did
there.
Did you get to meet Hamburglar?
Or Grimace or anybody? No one showed up?
No characters.
Where was this?
You didn't have
any town.
Right in West LA.
You didn't have
right
any.
Here.
You didn't
was
have
it in the location it is now?
Oh, no. McDonald's used to be across the street from its current location.
You guys didn't have any mascot uniforms?
It was actually across from, like, Cumberland over there.
Yeah. I think where the pet store is now
yes.
is where McDonald's used to be.
Right. And then when they closed down Two Little Fish, that awesome seafood restaurant here that's out on the beach.
Two Little Fish. That's where the McDonald's used to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They took over McDonald's.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
So basically, exactly they just took happened. Over your fish frying duties there.
They did.
You got the resume for that job. You should call them.
Yeah, they're still frying fish in Esquimalt.
I know all about the fish fry. Extra cheese.
Yeah, right? With lots of tartar sauce.
And a Big Mac special sauce. Thanks, Ronald.
Do you know why McDonald's has the fish sandwich?
Why?
Friday. Yeah, because for religious reasons.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
On Fridays, they can't eat beef.
Yep.
So they eat a fish sandwich.
So it'll forever be on the menu, even though it's the least selling thing that they got.
So I just wanted to make a quick note. We just got to move on because we have other jobs to talk about. We talked about the McDonald's. So what's your third job? And then I'll put in some of mine.
All right. So
this one, we only got to talk about first job. Best. You know. So we can go first job and then best job. Because the next episode, the next part of the series is we're going to talk about the worst jobs. We're going to be talking about more additional jobs in the next series. So this one right here is first jobs and best job.
Okay. Right. So this is his third best first job that he's going to talk about.
Well,
I had three first jobs.
Yeah. If you only have one first job.
Dude, my the first job I had was so successful. I was so successful at it. I decided to get another first job.
And then
once I figured out how to put the cheese on the burger, I'm like, damn, I'm good at these jobs.
So that we don't confuse the listeners, today we're going to be talking about the first century of jobs that we had. Well, everything from the 80s to the 90s is the first job.
Yeah, but I know, but he said his first job was paperboy, and then he went into McDonald's. So
because you asked him. You asked him what was your next job.
Oh.
Yeah, you fed him the question, but it's not in the questions. Oh.
Hey, you know, I'm going from the fly, you know what I mean? It's the Z-Man here going from the fly.
All right, so it's your turn. What was your first job?
Well, that's why we have to make a call in right now to my mother just to fax check this. So we're going to give her a call.
Mama loves her baby.
So we'll be talking to...
We're not going to be able to hear her unless you put her up there.
Samantha Ravenscroft.
We're not going to be able to hear her unless you put her up to the mic.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just seeing if she'll pick up. Hello, Mom. So you're on a podcast right now, and we're talking about my first job. So I'm thinking that my first job was when I did a Pampers commercial for you. Did we actually finish that commercial, and did I get paid?
I don't remember about being paid, but you did finish the commercial.
Okay. And then what was after that would be another commercial job that I did, or was not until I was a teenager doing the modeling.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Well, we're fact checked, confirmed.
Right.
You she's sure like, got that she's right. She's like, you worked.
Right.
All right, Mom.
What was your first job?
A trainee post person.
For a newspaper?
No. I was carrying the mail.
You were a mailman?
A mailwoman.
A mailwoman, and I was 15.
Wow.
And they gave me a bag that was too heavy, so I dragged it on the ground. The next thing I saw was a bus, so I leapt on the bus.
You delivered the mail on the bus?
No, I just got on the bus to go back to the post office and say, this is not for me.
You quit? You quit on your first day?
You quit on the first day, Mom?
Yeah.
That's great. This was in the UK, right?
Yes. This was in Eastbourne, Sussex.
So did you get paid for your half a day?
I'm sure I did.
So when you quit that job, did you get another job?
Yes. This was when I was home from college. A group of us all did things together. And so the next thing was planting Christmas trees.
Wow.
Really?
Little baby, went on a big truck in the morning.
Wow. Wow, that's great. I would have never imagined that. That's kind of, I didn't even think of that as a job. Then, I mean, it makes sense, right? But,
absolutely.
And then I did pick strawberries.
Wow.
Did you eat them while you were picking them?
Probably.
So did they take that out of your paycheck?
No.
So did you grow up around farms, or did you have to travel to the farms?
No, they took us on this truck.
Wow.
And it was just outside the town where I lived, which was Eastbourne, Sussex.
Still, that's awesome. So, I had no idea. You were a mail carrier. Wow. I never knew that.
Mail carrier. Didn't carry the mail.
Very good. A mail carrier that did not carry the mail.
In the bottom of the bag.
I almost want to make a T-shirt of that. You know, find an old picture of you, and then have an AI add a mail bag being dragged behind you. It's kind of like that picture with the famous picture of the kid on the beach and the dog is pulling the pants down. Except instead of the dog, it'll be the bag pulling behind you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, pulling little boys' pants down.
Yep. Yeah.
Right, but now it can be the mail, and it's just like I didn't deliver.
Yeah. the reason Santa didn't get your letter.
It was too darn heavy.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling in, Mom. We really appreciate that. So we'll talk to you soon.
I never would have imagined, you haven't met her, but I never would have imagined her as working on a farm.
Or a mail carrier.
Yeah. Or, well, I'm blown away. It just proves you can't judge a book by its cover, right?
You never know where people come from.
Yeah, because she's really so prim and proper, you know. Yes. What I mean? Like, and I just couldn't imagine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my dad,
after one day, she couldn't imagine it either.
Or 1 hour. Or half a day.
I don't think we can beat that one, but let's try. Okay, so first job that you got.
That I got myself?
Yeah, first job that you went out and got. That's what we're doing here. These are jobs that we went out and got.
We acquired.
Oh, okay. So there's a place in Watch Hill called The Kitchen. And basically in 1938, hurricane just destroyed all these houses on Napa Tree and threw everything into the water. So they call it the kitchen because there's like kitchen sinks in there and everything. So all these tourists will come in and they'll park their boats, right? So I said to my dad, I'm like, I want to go.
So wait a second. So the kitchen was a dock?
No, the kitchen was a bay. I called it the kitchen because of all the stuff.
Watch Hill Bay, you're talking about.
Watch Hill Bay, or outside of Watch Hill Bay, on The inside of
the Bayside.
Yeah, the inside. Bayside. Yep, the Bayside, inside Napa Tree.
Okay, because at first when you were talking about it and you were saying the storm, I thought this was a place that sold everybody's kitchen sink that got blown away.
No,
this
I know.
It's like a thrift store. This one threw. This one flew into the
back in the 80s, I sold kitchen sinks to people who lost their homes in the 30s.
Yeah, and every time there's a tornado, they open a new location.
No. So I saw an opportunity to make money. And I said to my dad, I'm like, all right, I want to get up early. I would like you to take me to Best Eaten Donuts. I'm going to get a couple dozen donuts. I'm going to get boxes of coffee.
Best Eaten's been around that long?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh. Definitely.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
So I'm going to get a couple boxes of coffee. I'm going to get a bunch of newspapers, and I'm going to drive out on the boat and go from boat to boat and sell my stuff.
So basically, you were a newspaper boy as well, but you were a boat boy.
So you had a little dinghy you were driving around in.
No dinghy. It was a 22-foot Mako that I would just...
Okay.
You know?
I think he beat your bicycle.
That's what you think.
Yeah, right.
You never saw me ride it.
Hey, it could have been a tricycle, right? With the chrome rims.
And I had a bell, okay?
Did you have the fringe off the handlebars?
did your boat have a bell?
No, it had a horn.
See?
It had a horn. No, it had a horn. It had a foghorn.
Oh.
Sometimes I did that once, and I kind of got, like, frowned upon because I think they were still sleeping and I was just trying to get people to like
buy
stuff.
Did
so
you
I just went wah wah and people came up and
care
most
for a
were
donut?
Pissed off.
the missile alarm and they come out. I was like, oh my god, what is it? And it's like, would you like a donut?
Yeah.
$2, please.
Exactly. So I would take all that money and I would stick it into the gas tank of the boat.
You would put gas in the boat. Wouldn't that run better?
Yeah, but there was only a certain amount in it. So then,
so you use the money in the gas tank so that you could put less gas in it.
No. I would start off with a certain amount. My dad would say, "All right, I'll put this much into the donuts. I'll put this much into all the you know."
So your operating expense basically was the full amount of money that you were making.
And I was old. It was
I misunderstand. No. So you were earning money so that you could use the boat and go out and do your okay.
Exactly.
I misunderstood.
So there's a place called Sandy Point off of Watch Hill. And it's what do they call that?
It's a tiny little island.
Yes. It's a sandbar. There we go. So I would go back in. I'd pick up all the girls. I'd pick up mainly the girls and get one other guy or two other guys.
Yeah, you guys got to swim. We'll catch you. We'll meet you out there. throw out some of one of those things that the skiers hold on to. Yeah. Throw up on the back of the boat.
Exactly. You can ski to the island. You're not sitting in here. So we would cruise out to Sandy Point, and I'd drop off all the girls, and they would just suntan, and then the guys would just, like, wakeboard and inner tube. And then some of the girls would get daring, so then we would put, like, 3 to 4 people on an inner tube, and we would just cruise as fast as we could, and then I would cut the wheel, and it would go, and the people would just boom, 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 and they'll just, like, fall off in every direction.
And this is why, as a teenager, I'm surprised we survived.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell I got a boat license at, like, 14.
Oh, I'm telling you, man.
I don't even think I had a license.
Probably not. No one cared back then,
No one cared a damn back then.
Nope. So did you make any money or just gas money?
Eventually, I think I upped the prices and made some money.
Nice.
You know, I put it into the boat. Mm-hmm. They got fishing rods or... a new line, some new skis.
Yeah.
You know, for water skiing. I mean, water skiing was fun then. What was another first job? Well, there's only really one first. But I would say my second job.
Second first job.
My second first.
Well, actually, technically, he's right. Because I had two jobs, my first job. So technically, I had two first jobs. Started at the same time.
So my second job, we had a pond behind our house.
Okay.
And there'd be turtles, painting turtles, bullfrogs, snakes, and all this stuff.
And you were barbecuing them and selling them to the neighbors?
No, we would catch them and bring them to the pet store, and we would sell them to the pet store.
Wow.
The painted turtles, the bullfrogs, snakes.
And
the
snakes
sucked, though, because you'd get bit sometimes, and we didn't know if they were water moccasins or, you know. But eventually I would put, like barbecue gloves on.
So how did you catch the snakes?
you would take a stick. My grandfather
would go out to the water and wait till they bite on, and then come back. Come here, sneaky, sneaky. Oh, I got one.
A snake that got a snake.
I feel a little woozy here.
So what I think it was my grandfather and my uncle told me is you take a stick, and if it had a fork in it, you would put the fork right underneath right over the top of the snake's head, and you jam the fork into the ground. And then he can't move his back of his head and everything's moving and everything. You'd grab that son of a bitch right behind the neck, and you just hold him as tight as you could. And he might go this way or this way or this way. If he did, you just smack him in the head.
And that would kill him, or
no, it would kind of daze
him in a coma.
Yeah, and then maybe easier to sell.
Dead?
No, not in a dead. Coma.
I don't think he's just sleeping right now. And we this snake for $5. He's sleeping. Be quiet. We don't want to wake him up.
And we wonder why Mother Nature hates us so much. You know, like I'm delivering food and I get attacked by turkeys at least once a month. You know, and what's pissing them off? Now I know. Brad had apparently been here at one time.
One time I remember we had a giant gardener snake right in the yard. I wanted to catch him and sell him. I don't know.
Most people want pets.
Talking about pets, I had gerbils. And I was living in New York, and we were living way up, 30th floor or something like that. And my, what would you call her? Oh, babysitter. Forgot and left the window open. So I called my gerbils, Batman and Robin.
So they went on a caper?
Well, yeah, but hence didn't we know that gerbils don't fly. So they got out of the cage and they walked up to the edge and they probably looked at each other and go, not too bad.
We hate this cage. We're jumping. We're ending it right now.
We're done. I'm done. Batman? Yes, Robin. Let's try it.
And that's when Batman learned that he doesn't have depth perception.
It turns out he wasn't wearing his utility belt.
Exactly.
Why are we still falling, Batman?
Use the utility belt.
This is laundry day. I didn't bring it with me.
Splat.
I've seen some videos of cats and dogs jumping off like the third floor like crazily.
Yeah,
just getting up
20th
and
30th. Oh,
okay. 35th floor. I mean,
that gerbil ain't going to survive.
My secretary, right? Her brother had Down syndrome and they had a cat. They lived on the fifth floor. So the cat used to hang out in the window. And one day he's walking through the kitchen and the cat's in the window and he just goes,
oh shit,
falls out the window. So the cat little dazed, he survived or whatever, and then the fifth floor, and then 2 weeks
That's
later
impressive.
The cat is in the window again.
Oh my god,
so didn't learn his lesson.
Yeah, so she said this time the cat was all messed up, his eyes are
rolling back in his head.
So they decided to put a lock on that window.
That's pretty bad, man. That's pretty bad.
So, like, my jobs, my first jobs, because I had two jobs, and then I got two more jobs after that. So,
but you did two jobs at once.
Yeah, because
so that's like dating two women at once. How the hell did you
double
pull that
dipping?
Off?
So one taught me like customer service and all that. That's working at the bowling alley. Okay. The second one, I was building computers, and I worked for the company that invented shareware. So I learned how to not.
So you're 14 years old, mm-hmm. and you're building computers.
Yeah, I was building computers, and this is back before they had plug and play. So you had to like put in the DIP switches and all that stuff. You had to put codes in to use a computer back then.
Well, that blows our jobs away. He's over there selling donuts. He's waking people up selling donuts.
Who wants a donut?
I'm throwing newspapers in the doors while Doberman Pinschers are attacking me.
And then you got
and you're building computers.
Yeah, well, you got Odd Kid building computers. No wonder he handles all our tech for our podcast.
I gotta be honest. honest, there was a lot less girls on my island. That's for sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we had a lot of porn. That's for sure.
Like, oh man,
we did shareware, and one of the shareware games that we did was Leisure Suit Larry. Do you know that game?
No.
What was that?
Tell.
Basically, it was a guy who would hook up with strippers and stuff like that, and his missions were very adult. Like, for example, he would hook up with a girl, but she wanted condoms, so you had to go find condoms or whatever, and you would go into these adventures and all that. It was an adult video game. It was very low graphics or whatever, but Leisure Suit Larry had, it lasted all the way up until the Xbox or the PlayStation. Back when video games first started, they weren't for kids. They were for adults. So, this is definitely not for kids, right?
Saga?
Yeah. Alcohol, drugs, whatever, everything.
Magna cum laude.
Leisure Suit they even had this is the funny part. So when they did sex scenes, like when you finally we're going to have sex with somebody, instead of showing the act, it would cut to shots of missiles launching and fireworks going off. And all
that. Oh my God.
We did what's called shareware. So back then you couldn't just go online. There was no internet to sell your game. So we would make one level versions of the game, make hundreds of copies on a floppy disk. And then we would snail mail them out to people.
How would they find out about it?
We would snail mail them. We'd have mail lists. So back then, it was the same way they do it now, just cold mail. We'd mail them to everybody. And then what would happen is if they wanted it, they could dial into a BBS, which was
like their own pre-internet. Kind of like a server?
Kind of, yeah. There was no World Wide Web, but you could dial into a computer super insanely slow and download the game. And when I say slow, it would take you 2 days to download this game. And this is where you made money. So when they would download the game, they had to pay for the time on the server. So the longer it took to download the game, the more money we made.
Okay. So you give away the product because you're making money on the
server.
Back end.
Yep. On the back end, right. I'm pretty sure McDonald's worked there too, yeah. And then my other job was I lied about my age to work at a bowling alley at a cafe, and it's where I learned how customer service and all that. And I also learned how many different toppings you could put on French fries, and it wasn't that bad. Because I was poor, so I could afford one French fry, but the toppings were free. So I would put cinnamon and mayonnaise and ketchup and mustard and everything I could find on top of it to make it
fill up on toppings.
That's exactly right. this was something that me and my dad. So my dad was sometimes he only lived on disability. Sometimes he was extremely low on money. So we would go to the gas station that sold two hot dogs for a dollar. And then we would load up as many condiments as possible as we could on it so we could, we could eat. That was dinner sometimes. And once a month, we would go to Burger King and I would order a chicken sandwich. And back then, I don't know if you guys remember, back then the chicken sandwich was fancy and they would cut it in half.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was like rich people food to me.
And it had fries with it.
Yep. And that was rich people food to me. And then when I got older in high school, when Taco Bell started telling tacos for $39, $49, $59, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I lived like a king. I think it's where I gained all my weight. It's because I was ordering, the five tacos or the seven tacos. It was only like $2.99.
Nice.
But my reason for getting the jobs might have been different than yours. So, I got jobs based on my interests. So I wanted to learn about computers. So I specifically hunted down a computer shop that was willing to hire a kid, to learn about them. And I wanted, I loved working at the, I loved being at the bowling alley, but I couldn't afford to bowl all the time. So I got a job there so I could get my bowling for free.
And then would they give you fries for free?
No, never. I always had to pay for it.
So my son makes about $600 to $800 on a weekend doing a lemonade stand.
I'm going to steal
that spot?
Stand.
No, hell no. So,
just warning you ahead of time. It's going to happen.
You said something, somebody said something about a gang or something.
Right.
What is it?
The Westerly Lemonade Gang.
What?
It's a thing.
It's a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
When we find out that there's other people on our turf.
Really?
We go after them.
Why? Are you guys union or something?
We don't have to be union. We're a gang.
Are you guys?
You think the Bloods and the Crips are union?
Are you guys connected to the Girl Scout gang?
Yeah.
Well, we have a few connections with the Boy Scouts. Okay.
Yeah, you know,
we haven't infiltrated the Girl Scouts yet.
Because the other day I saw these Girl Scouts come in and they brought their table in. And they pushed this old retired veteran out that was sitting there collecting, money at the door, and they pushed him all the way to the other side to where nobody would see him anymore. And every time he tried to scoot closer, the girl would be like.
So. To sell something and be a hustler, you know what I mean? Like to hustle, you got to have a gimmick or something.
Absolutely.
Right? So, from Halloween, we have all these different costumes at our house. So I told my son, I'm like, well, put the bumblebee costume on. He's like, heck no, Dad. No, that's weird. That's, I'm going to look like a goofball. So I said, all right, let's do a test. Let's see you sell some lemonade without the bee costume and see how many you do in an hour. And then the next hour, we're going to put the bee costume on and see how many you do in an hour then. So without the bee costume, he did all right. He did decent. No big tips or anything.
How much does he get for a glass of lemonade?
$2.50.
And does it come in a cup?
Yeah, a small cup.
Like how many ounces?
Like a Dixie cup.
Okay, like 12 ounces.
Probably maybe less. Maybe eight
ounces.
Maybe
you want to see his books? Are you going to audit this?
maybe.
Are you taking notes for your stand?
Before I take over the stand, before the hostile takeover, could I see the books, please?
After the podcast, he's going to be calling up all of his family looking for, who's got a new kid? I need a kid for this weekend.
So
I know this stand on East Avenue.
So you got a 2-month-old and be like, she's selling lemonade. You don't want to disappoint her. She'll be upset.
Yeah, exactly. So he could pull that, he's older now, but he could pull that whole, cute kid thing. So, for that hour he made, decent money and, average, but he didn't get any big tips or anything. And then the next hour when he put the bee costume on, what he made in that hour, he made within the first like 15 minutes or more. And you get $5 tips, $10 tips.
Do you think they were giving him money so he could get a better costume?
I don't know, but it worked.
They felt bad.
No, like I told him, it's marketing.
How good was the costume?
It was pretty good.
All right.
It had the antennas. It had the little bee thing on the back.
I think this is a challenge. I think we should put you out there with a bee thing, with a bee costume, and see if you sell any lemonade.
I am taking notes.
I want to put SDR on East Avenue. Yeah.
What we're going to do is
we're in a bee costume.
We're going to put Z-Man on one side of the street.
Wearing this. Yes.
And you're going to be on the other side of the street wearing the bee.
Yes. But I'm going to win because I'm wearing a yellow costume.
It's going to be like the whole McDonald's thing all over again. It's like, how much did you make? $1. You win.
I made a buck.
So within an hour, we need to see who can pull off and make and.
So I have a question. If someone actually calls the loony bin and they take one of you guys away, does that count towards a bonus of any kind?
No.
Extra points given.
That's when I'll tell you the number of the bank account to get us out. All right, but that's a challenge. I'm challenging SDR on this podcast to wear the bee suit, and I'm gonna wear the hip hop suit. And we're going to see in what, an hour or 2 hours?
1 hour is good.
1 hour, who's going to make the most money?
And you guys,
I accept that challenge.
And to help.
But hold on a second. You cannot pre-promote. You can't go on Facebook and say, hey, I'm going to be on East Avenue at this time selling lemonade. Come and get some.
Yeah, but the cops might be checking you out for, like prostitution or something.
I'm going to be advertising 50% off my lemonade stand on Facebook.
No.
Man.
I don't even have a Facebook page. I am just kidding about the Facebook.
You got to think marketing. So you're going to be wearing a bee costume. Yep. So you're selling lemonade with a taste of honey. Right? And he's got the bee boy thing here. So he's going to be selling lemonade with a little bit of cocaine.
With a tiny little spoonful of cocaine.
No. No, mine's
addicted by the first sip.
Why is my line so big?
Why are they trading you TVs for a cup?
Oh my God.
One of them CRVs.
No, mine will be seltzer. polar seltzer mixed with lemonade. So I have a little spike.
And
to
you know
it.
What? It's all about branding, even if it has nothing to do with the drink, right? So I'm gonna open a stand too, and I'm gonna put vegan lemonade.
Okay.
You're going to open one also?
Yeah, but
you're going to do
what
vegan?
What side of the street are you going to be on?
Oh, yeah, right. Are you going to be in the middle, like right down the middle?
Yeah. But get this, though. They're going to buy it because it's vegan lemonade, but there's no such thing as not vegan lemonade.
It's all vegan.
They're
going
to buy it anyway.
They're going to buy it. Or no. It's vegan and gluten-free.
And organic. Don't forget organic.
No corn at all in this lemonade.
Man, he's going to beat us. I don't know.
I don't know. I like who's my odds with the B costume.
Oh, no.
I know. Who's getting arrested first, though? Because you're going to be like, there's no kids with
the
you.
The dude in the middle of the street is getting arrested first.
Because it's vegan, I can charge more. And then I'm going to have the zero calorie more. Lemonade, and it's just going to be water.
with a small slice of lemon. And that's it.
Zero with lemon flavoring. I just bite it and blow. While they're drinking it.
Oh my God. All right, so you're hearing it here. It's got Odd Kid, Z-Man, and SDR. It's a three-person challenge that we're going to challenge because it's the summer, and we're each going to do a different lemonade. So I'm going to do the Bebop Boy lemonade. I got my suit on right now. You know I'm hip. And I'm going to do...
Get high on lemonade.
You're only hip if it's hip to be square.
Oh, snap. So I'm going to do...
And every time you sell one, you got to break dance.
Oh,
You got to do the robot.
All right, that's fine. But what the heck is the bee costume going to do? He's going to go...
Every time you sell one, you got to vibrate.
I'm going to go buzz in my honeycomb.
Oh, man. And what about you, Mr. Vegan?
All I got to do is give him a flower.
Oh, that's lame.
That's all vegans get. You know, they can't really
move.
You
know, sunflowers are in season right now. If you gave everybody a sunflower,
they give you $5
for every cup of lemonade, you would definitely win.
Yeah, but I think that the cost to do business would be too high.
It would. At the end of the day, he'd be like, oh, I lost $12.
All right, so we have to put an ad on Craigslist.
Who still uses Craigslist?
What?
Who uses Craigslist still, except for like, you know, suicidal killers?
People dressed in 80s.
Serial killers.
A bee suit and an 80s bebop suit.
So
right. That's who uses Craigslist.
So, okay.
No, it's actually just for jobs. Like, I'm looking for a housekeeper there. But I don't know what they're going to do if they would steal everything, rob the house, come back. You know, I don't know. Anybody know of a housekeeper? Anybody out there that's listening to this in Westerly, I'm looking for a housekeeper.
I'm looking for a job. I'm a CFA.
Yeah, we don't have any jobs. We can't afford a housekeeper. Oh yeah, he can clean toilets.
Oh boy.
I could I don't know if I'd clean his toilet. I usually have employees that do that. Maybe maybe you could hire me and I'd subcontract
it out. There you go. No, you can do you can put out a job, right? But it's one day on the job. What do they call it?
Training.
Yeah, you know, it's not training. Like they don't pay you. It's called a
internship.
Not intern. It's a working interview.
Okay.
So you put out an ad for a working interview. They have to clean your house, and at the end, you're gonna go,
nah.
Just not working out. Do you have any friends?
Not really up to par. Know anyone else that would want the job?
Okay. So
are you guys gonna dare me to do that? I might do that.
No,
a working interview.
That is a great idea.
A working interview.
I like it.
You know what? I think it'd be better if it wasn't even his house. So they gotta clean his neighbor's house, and if they do a good job, then they can clean his house.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the neighbor would love that.
We learned a lot today about our first jobs, about the job market today. Let us know in the comments about your first jobs, and maybe we'll give you a shout out in the next episode. This is Pocket 23. Like and subscribe. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
I'll add one thing to that. If it's cool, we'll call you and talk to you.
Wow.
That's the Z-Man out.
Just, crazy
just before we go out, I'd like to have your phone number and your stats.
Drink Poland, drink Poland Springs.
By the way, do you need a babysitter?
Oh, no. Scary.